If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. I want to read a few verses found in the book of John, chapter number 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." I'll tell you tonight, there's no other person that I can tell you to call on but the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha found themselves having a need, but they didn't know who to call on or who to send for. A lot of times we send for the wrong people, but I'm glad we can send for Jesus. Verse 4 said, "When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Martha and her sister and Lazarus. "And when he was heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Let's skip down to verse number 33. "And then when Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see." Verse 39, "Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said not I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I need your touch tonight, Lord. I cannot do this without you. Lord, I stand in the need tonight, Lord. I need you to speak, Lord. Lord, I have no ability. Lord, there's no talent in me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you speak to some heart, Lord, tonight. Speak to my heart tonight, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We find in this story a very particular family. And Jesus had no mistake because he penned it down in the Bible exactly who it was. There was a town in Bethany, and there was three people there that were very familiar in this story. In the story, you'll find Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus did not want you to mistake which Mary it was. It was that Mary that anointed his feet with her hair and wiped his feet with her hair with his tears that fell down from her face. It was that Mary. You see, things come to our home sometimes that trouble us. And here we find Mary and Martha and Lazarus in a time of need, in a time of trouble. I find in my life, a lot of times I find myself just like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I find myself in a time of need. I want to preach just a little while on this thought. I'm glad he sees what we don't. I'm glad he sees what we don't. You see, I serve a God that knows the end from the beginning. And sometimes when we can't see the end, he knows the end before it even gets cranked up. And I'm glad God sees us not for who we are or what we were, but I'm glad he's taking us to a city because he's growing us up into him in all things. And I'm glad tonight he's changing me and he's changing my world from this world into his world. I'm glad he sees what we don't. You'll see, it's easy for us to talk about trouble when it's in a foreign country. And we say, well, we got a little burden for that, and we'll pray for that. You know, and we go home and we pray for it, and it may fade off of us. And we see, but I've noticed this, when it comes to our country, We may pray a little harder, and you may even lose that burden. But let me tell you what, when it comes down to your city that you live in, you begin to pray a little harder. But let me tell you this, when it affects your home, let me tell you what, it affects your life. I want to say Mary and Martha and Lazarus found themselves where they was affected. You see, Lazarus was sick. Sick. But let me tell you what, it even got worse. You see, Mary and Martha didn't know that he was about to die. But let me tell you what, when we thought things could not get any worse, it can. Let me tell you what, and Lazarus said he said, our friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus told him that. Let me tell you what, I find that a lot of times in my family, there comes a time for emergencies. And when Lazarus, Mary and Martha found themselves in an emergency. Let me say this. They found themselves in an emergency. They found that, let me say this, it would have been all right if Jesus would have sent some one of his disciples there. They might have could have passed that over if he'd have sent old Peter, James, or John. But let me tell you what he did. He abode in the same place 2 days still. I said all this to say this. Jesus sees what we don't. He can see further down the road. He can see the sunshine through the rain. A lot of times we cannot see that. I want to say, first of all, I'm glad he sees what we don't because he knows our pain. I want to say this in the ministry. Sometimes it's painful. There's going to be pains that come to your house. There's going to be pains that come to my house. And it does matter how we react to those pains. You see, there's hurdles in the road. There's toils in the roads. And there's some things that we can't get over with by ourselves. We need the help of God. And we need the help of Jesus. And there may be somebody in here tonight that's walking through the most painful time of their life. But let me tell you what, I want you to know this for certain. Jesus knows your pain. I'm glad I serve a God that doesn't get out of my trouble, but He gets in trouble with me. And I'm glad He doesn't run from my trouble, but He's there by my side. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 139 and verse number 3, He said, Thou compassest my path. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. I'm glad I got a God that, you know what that word compasseth means? That means He's got a circle around you. And that means if you go to the right, He's there with you. If you go to the left, He's there with you. If you go out in front of you, He's there in front of you. And you can't go very far back without touching Him. I'm glad He's in my path tonight. And I don't want to get out of Him because I can't. Because He's there in front of me and He's all around me. He's not in the midst. He's all by my side. And I'm not here alone tonight. He knows our pain. David said in that same psalm, he said, Thou knowest my uprisings and my down sittings. You see, that's my He knows me psalm. You see, if anybody knows you, Jesus does. And He knows our pain. He knows our hurdles, but He knows our hurts. You see, I've noticed in this life sometimes there's big hurts. I've noticed that sometimes when you get hurt, it comes quickly to you, and it's immediate pain. But I also noticed that sometimes it's little hurts. I was reminded of a story of a guy who worked with me. He had a heart attack, and he almost died, and he almost passed away. And you know what they did? He was in the middle of a heart attack, and they took him to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, and they got him, recessed him, and shocked him back to life, and he was there. And they said, you know what? He said, you've had 18 heart attacks. Small, little hurts, little pains before you had this big one. Let me tell you what. A lot of times in life, there's little hurts that we go to. And if we don't take care of those little hurts, guess what they turn into? They turn into big hurts and they turn into big pains. Let me tell you what Mary and Martha found themselves in this story tonight. They found themselves in a big hurt. You see, because they had a family. And I want to say this, church, tonight, the devil's after your family. There's no doubt in my mind that he's after families in this church and all around this nation and attacking the home. He's not only got an attack on the Word of God, he's got an attack on the home. Because if he's got an attack on your home, he's got an attack on the church. And if he's got that, if he's got your family, he's got your whole life. I'm glad tonight I know somebody who knows my hurts. When I've cried all night and done all I can do, I'm glad Jesus knows my hurts and He knows my pains. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, Paul was speaking of the ministry there. He started out that chapter. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he said this in verse number 8. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And here's my verse right here. He said this, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let me say this. Sometimes pain is working death in you that it might work life in somebody else. You see, Paul said the ministry was working death in him, but he knew that there was a specific purpose because of that, that it might work life in somebody else. And see, you say, why would God let me hurt? Why would God let me go through pain? Why would God do all this? Why would He let us not understand what He's actually doing? Let me say this. He may be working death in you that He might work life in somebody else. There's been things that I've seen other people work death in that worked life in me. And it helped me out. He knows our pain. He knows our hurts. He knows our hurdles. I want to say this. Jesus pleads our case. If I could say anything to you tonight, and you may forget everything I say tonight, but don't forget this. Jesus, you say, I'm hurting, and you don't know how bad I hurt. See, I'm glad that I've got a story in the Bible where actually somebody actually had some true hurt and some true pain, because I've noticed in the Christian walk, a lot of people won't admit that they had any trouble or they had any pain. But I'm glad He wrote about three specific people over in the town of Bethany let me know that if I'm experiencing pain, that they experience pain. And when Jesus was there for them, that He'll be there for me. And when I can't see where I'm going, I'm glad Jesus is there in front of me. And I'm glad when He sees what we don't tonight. He knows our pain. He knows how to make us hide. It's amazing in the Bible that the same God that would tell Elijah to go show thyself to Jezebel and Ahab, and all power was given unto him. But it would be the same God that would make him go hide himself by the brook Cherith. Let me say this tonight. It's all right for you to hide. As long as you're hiding in God, it's all right. Don't hide from sin, but hide in God. The psalmist David said this in Psalm 17 and verse number 8. He said, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hiding me under the shadow of thy wings. He said this in Psalm 27 and verse number 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Deliver me, O Lord. Psalm 143 and 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. It's all right sometimes to hide. You see, God's given us a specific shelter. I'm glad I can come in here and get sheltered from the storm that's outside. I remember one time I was on my way to church up here, and I got to Graham. and it began to hail like I'd never seen it hail before. And all I could think about is, where can we go? Where can we park our car? Where can we get out of this? I mean, it was hailing hard enough to break our windshield out. I pulled up underneath that gas station there at Graham. And as I did that, the lady inside, she shook her head and said, you can't do that. And I began to think, look at it. I said, I'm glad the Lord knows how to hide me. And sometimes it's all right to hide. He knows your pain. He knows where He can hide you. Let the Lord hide you in some of your battles and some of your troubles. I'm glad He knows how to hide us. He knows our pain. Not only that, secondly, I want to say this. He goes to our problems. Look what it said back in our text in John chapter number 11 and verse number 34. I know we have a bunch of spiritual people in here tonight. I know we have some Bible scholars in here tonight. But I got a question for you in verse number 34. And it says this, and he said, and my Bible's got this in red, where have you laid him? Now, I need a witness right here. How many of you think Jesus didn't know where Lazarus was? I think He knew where he was. Why would He ask that question? And the Lord, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, sometimes you have to, before you can get any help, you are going to have to tell Him where your Lazarus is. You see, there's been times in my life that I didn't want Jesus knew where Lazarus was, and He knows where you are, and He knows all about you, and He knows where your problems, and He goes to those problems, but He wants you to assist in the problem. He wants you to come to Him for the problem. Where have you laid Him? Where have you laid your Lazarus? Where have you laid Him? Jesus knew exactly where it was. Jesus knew from the beginning that He was even dead before Mary and Martha even knew the end of the story. He knew that. He goes to our problems. I want to say, no problem is too burdensome for the Lord. You may be here tonight and say, nobody cares about my problem. My problem seems small to other people. But I want you to know tonight, the Lord Jesus says there's no problem too burdensome for Him. You know what He did in the first part of this chapter? He went back to the Jews. The Jews sought to stone Jesus. He said, that ain't enough to keep me from coming into this problem. No problem is too burdensome. Not only that, no problem is too big. You see, Lazarus was stinking. Lazarus was dead. You say, why would he let it go that far? Do you think the Lord could have healed Lazarus before, when they called on Him? He could have done that. He could have just spoken the word, and Lazarus would have been healed. But you know what He chose? I was listening to a man preach one time, and he said, "He loved me enough to wait." You know why? I'm glad He sees what we don't. A lot of times we can't see the end of the road, and we don't know what problem we're going through without the Lord Himself helping us. I'm glad He said this in Psalm chapter number 91 and verse number 15. He said, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him." I'm glad tonight He not only knows our pain, but He goes to our problem. Lazarus stinking. He'd been dead for 4 days. The Bible said this in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 14. It says, "For as much as then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, and through death that He may destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Let me tell you something tonight. The Lord knows how to raise us up from the grave. You see, the devil had power, and he brought many into bondage because they thought when they died there was the end of the story. Let me tell you what tonight, I've got a better hope than that. I've got a better God than that. I'm like Job, in my flesh I shall see God. No worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He said this in verse number 17 in Hebrews chapter number 2. Don't forget this. He said, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in he that himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Let me tell you what that word succor means. That means to relieve. That means to aid. You say, "Jesus, there's nobody in here tonight that knows what I'm walking through." Let me tell you what, I know a God. And I have authority to say this, not by myself, but through the Word of God, that He knows what you're going through. And He's able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to aid you. He's able to relieve you. He's able to walk by your side. You may think you're in your trouble alone, but I'm telling you, there's somebody bigger than you that knows all about your trouble. And He not only sees your trouble before it started, He sees your trouble when it's over. See, what God brings you to, He'll always bring you through. He won't leave you to yourself. He won't leave you by yourself, because He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He shows that He goes to our problem. Thirdly, I want to say this. He shows us His personality. You see, there's some certain aspects in this story that only the character of God could have. I see, first of all, he says He's a light. In the verse number 9 of this chapter, the Bible says, "Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." I'm here to say tonight, Jesus is the light. You see, Mary and Martha couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And there's been times in my life where I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But the very personality of God and Jesus Himself is light. You see, He shines in darkness. You see, I remember on the front row of Faith Baptist Church in April the 8th, 1998, it was as if the Lord Himself had rolled the top off that church, and He has shined a light down in my heart, and He gloriously saved me that day. And I'm here today because of that, because He saved me. He shined that light. Not only is He light, He's love. Look down in verse number 34, back in our text. It says this, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. The shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. You say, why did he weep? I've heard many people ask that same question. Why did he weep? But somebody said, it's because of they didn't believe. But I'm here to tell you, there was folks way beyond that didn't believe, and Jesus didn't weep so much because of that. You know what I believe he wept over? I believe he wept over, he saw the pain of Mary and Martha, and he saw all the people that Lazarus had been around all his life, and he saw all the heartaches and all the pain and all the sorrow that they was going through, and it touched the very heart of God. And I'm here tonight to tell you, when you're going through these things and you're going through troubles and you're going through trials and you need some help, and Jesus is there by your side, and he may be weeping. We know why, because he loves you. And I'm glad he loves me. You see, there's been times where I thought nobody loved me. And I thought I was all washed up. I remember when I was 12 years old, I said, I'm going to run away from home. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody even knows where I'm at. And I remember walking up to my granddaddy's house, and he had a big barn. And I said, I'll sit here behind this barn. And somebody will definitely come after me. And I tell you what, I sat there for a little while, and nobody came. And I sat there till probably for about 5 or 6 hours. And I said, well, man, nobody really loves me no more. Nobody cares. But let me tell you what, all through my little feeble mind and feeble being, let me tell you what, there was still a God in heaven that loved me. And I'm glad he loves me tonight. See, Jesus wept because he loved Mary and Martha. And the Jews saw it and they said, behold how he loved him. Not only you see light and love, I want to say you see life. He said this in verse number 25 of that chapter. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Anywhere you see Jesus, you'll see life. And you say, why did Jesus have to die first on that cross? Because if he wouldn't have died first, those thieves would have never died. They would have suffered all through eternity if he would have never shut his eyes in death. He saw a bigger plan. He saw something bigger than me. He saw the children of God. He saw the family of God. He saw that he had to go all the way to Calvary to die for us, to die for my sin and die for your sin. I'm glad tonight he knows our pain. He knows our heartaches. And I'll say this, he shows it through his personality. And it's always life. Look in verse number 44. Not only that, you'll see he knows how to loose people. Verse 44, it said, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. I'm here tonight to tell you, somebody may be in here tonight and you still got your grave clothes on. You see, you've been saved, but you're still in the bondage of sin. You're still suffering from that bondage. Let me tell you what Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I'm glad tonight we can kick off those grave clothes. You know what grave clothes were back in those days? They were little strips of white linen that they would lay on the body, and they would anoint those strips of that linen, and so they'd keep all the stench and all that out of the aroma away from the dead person. And let me tell you what, when Lazarus stepped out, he still had those grave clothes on. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I'm here tonight. Somebody needs to loose themselves and let some things go. To loose. Not only that, he's there to lift. Look back in verse number 23. Jesus was talking to Martha. He said this, Jesus saith unto her this, thy brother shall rise again. Somebody may be here today and your Lazarus has died. Let me tell you what, when Lazarus died, Jesus said he can be raised again. I'm here tonight to tell you that it can be raised again. You may have lost your Lazarus and you may not know where he's at, and you may be heartbroken, you may be in pain. But let me tell you this, Jesus can make him rise again and he can lift him. You say, what do you mean by that? And you'll find in the story, you'll find three tenses of faith. You'll find a historical faith found in verse number 21. It says, then Martha said unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. She had historical faith. She said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She had faith in the Lord in the past. Not only that, you'll see she had futuristic faith. Look in verse number 22. It says this, but verse number 24, it says, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, she had futuristic faith. She said, I know that he'll raise in the resurrection. But I'm very interested in verse number 22. Because, see, I see there was some present faith. Look what it said. It said, but I know that what? Even now. Even now. You know what that was? That was present faith. I praise God for folks that are even now Christians that have present faith. When my faith is depleted and my faith can't get me through, there's some even now Christians that have spoken a word to me that can get me through even now, the present time. Even now, Christians, I'm glad that Martha said, even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of the God, God will give it to thee. I'm glad he sees what we don't. Because he knows our pain. He goes to our problem. He shows us his personality. But I want to close with this. He grows us by his plan. He grows us by his plan. You see, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 15 said that we may grow up unto him in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse number 18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, when you can't think your way out of problems, you can thank your way out of problems. There's been times where I couldn't think myself. I said, every door in my room is shut, and there's four walls, and there's no door out. And I began to think about that, and all it did was get my problem worse. But when I began to thank God for all he'd done for me, he began to open those doors. He began to do things that only he could do. And I'm glad that he sees what we don't, and he grows us by his plan. You see, in here tonight, God's got a plan for each one of us. And we may not know what that plan is, but we ought to seek it because God knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. I want to say he looks beyond our disbelief. And I wrote some things down. I said we must trust his plan when our faith is low and depleted. Not only does he look beyond our disbelief, he looks beyond our distance. We must trust him, trust his plan no matter how far he seems from us. Not only that, he looks beyond our distresses. We must trust his plan even when we're in disarray and do not know what to do. I find myself in that situation a lot when I don't know what to do, and all I can do is trust him. He looks beyond our demands. We must trust his plans when our plans have failed and our prayers seem that they're not answered. You see, Mary and Martha was very disappointed that the Lord didn't come exactly at their call. At her demand, they thought the Lord should have been there. You see, they thought he should pull up in an ambulance. They thought there should be some sirens coming off and say, Lord, you're here to help us. And not only that, if he wouldn't have showed up, they thought at least he would send Peter, James, or John, or one of the disciples. Even though Doubt and Thomas might have sufficed in the situation. But let me say, he looks beyond our demands so that we can fulfill his plan. Not only that, he looks beyond our disappointments. We must trust his plan when we're disappointed with life. He is not so much worried about relieving our disappointments as he is in our spiritual growth. Hath not the potter over the clay? You see, the potter always knows the clay, and he's forming you, and he's fashioning you, and he's fashioning you into the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I was reading after one man and all that, and I said, why does he grow us by his plan? Why does God put us through pain? Why do we have these things? Why does he things hurt? And I was reading after one man, and this is what he said. He said, when you're conditioned like a chicken, you will not be able to fly with the eagles. When you're conditioned like the chicken, you will not be able to fly with the eagles. And I remember one of the things I was taught. I went to in college. I remember I had a professor, and I was in a health education class, and I began to, and it was very interesting. Now, for some reason, I got interested in, and it was like, she taught us things with physical education, PE, you know, how to lift weights, how to eat right, and things that we don't like to do sometimes. But I remember her telling us about the muscle and how muscles were formed in the body. And she began to tell us that for each time that you lift weights, what you actually do is you tear the muscles that are in your body. And each time you tear those muscles and you take that protein and you take those nutrients from your food, what it does is it actually replaces those cells with bigger cells and stronger cells. And that's why people, when they lift weights, their muscles grow. Let me tell you what God's doing. If he didn't have his plan and His plan is conditioning you that you can grow up into Him all things. Paul said He may be working death in you, but He's working death in you that He may work life in somebody else. And He's conditioning you so that you won't be like the chickens, but you'll fly like the eagle. I began to study this out. And a lot of times when I do, and I name my titles of my sermons after a song, I began to think, you know, why did this song come about? A lot of you probably have heard that song, "I'm Glad He Sees What We Don't." And I began to read and try to study up of how this song came about. And it was written by a young lady. Her name was Amber Epinette. And she wrote the first stanza to the song. And then Joseph Habedank wrote the second verse to that song. And the lady began to tell why she wrote that song. She said she was in a joyous time in her life, not knowing why God would touch her to write down that verse, the stanza, and put it in words. And later on, after they had finished that song, it said that her Aunt Tasha had passed away. And it began to put her in a... She was real close to this aunt, and that aunt meant a lot to her. And she began to look back on that song, and she began to draw strength from that song. I'm glad He knows His plan. I'm glad He's growing us up into Him, but He's growing us by His plan. This body's death to this world is a soul's birth to another world. You see, Lazarus may have laid down in this world, but he got up in another world. But let me tell you what, he came forth. I may close my eyes in death one day. Let me tell you what, my body may it's going to leave this world, but it's going to wake up in another world. And I'm glad of that tonight. I'll leave you one more verse. You say, how does he do that? He does it by his stripes. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." I'm glad he sees what we don't. You see, if I were to look in my life and say, how would this thing end out? I wouldn't be able to tell you. There's some things I definitely wouldn't tell you I'd have opened the door to go into. And I could not have went into those doors but with God. I'm glad he sees tonight what we don't. Brother Mike.